Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage, millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It's Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Thank you, Mean Gene, as you've got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogus with your updates. Another hour left to play with. Let's get to it. Hour number three. Here you go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Chiefs defense dominates in win over the Chargers.
Yeah, they were good. Intercepted Philip Rivers on four occasions. One of them was a batted ball off a sack up in the air, picked off by the defensive lineman. Still counts on the... It counts as a pick for Rivers nonetheless. It's kind of, he looked long in the tooth. You asked Bobby Carpenter the question about his future out in Los Angeles, Taz. That's obviously, you can call into question. They are a young team. Maybe the window is closed for Philip Rivers. There are times he looks great, and there are other times his decisions on the field, that he was getting destroyed by Steve Young last night on the ESPN broadcast.
He was
getting taken behind the woodshed by Young.
He was.
A game in Mexico City. I thought the atmosphere was good. I thought the field, even though there were divots all over the place, I think relatively speaking, it held up well. You saw the altitude have an effect during the, before the game. Mahomes throwing the ball 70 yards in the air, but Butker kicking a ball, 71 yards in pregame, Taz. I thought the atmosphere was good. I thought it was a good representation of NFL football. The Chiefs defense played well. However, I think it's a product. It's them playing well. But it's also a product of the team they went up against. And really, the inconsistency of the Chargers is mind-numbing. And the two losses along the offensive line at both tackle positions wreaked havoc for the Los Angeles Chargers on offense. And the Chiefs were able to defensively benefit off of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we talked about this a lot earlier and about how, for the international field, actually, I'm usually not into these games. You're into them more than me. The international NFL games, I'd rather it all be played here. But I like this. This was fun. I mean, great audience there that was in attendance in Mexico City. I thought that was awesome. You know what? Listen, defensively, you're right. I think the Chiefs deserve some credit. And we talked a chunk about how Rivers didn't look too good at all. I mean, just didn't look like – I'm wondering if he's getting just to that point as he's getting older. Is he making bad mental decisions on the field? And you brought up the point, like you just mentioned a second or two, about those the offensive tackles on the Chargers, just not up to snuff, where a guy, a guy like Rivers needs that protection. Otherwise, you're going to have a guy in Frank Clark who's going to be all over him. And that's what we saw yesterday, last night, I should say. So, yeah, they got to figure some stuff out with that old line. They got to work on some of the weapons. But the bigger picture is Philip Rivers. You're sitting 4-7 now. I mean, is he your guy going forward? That's what you got to figure out if you're the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, that is what you got to figure out. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, Taz, at one point in time, I looked at them as being a Super Bowl contender. Maybe they'll look at this game defensively as a little bit of a turning point. Mahomes didn't really need to do all that much last night. He wasn't great. They ran the ball effectively enough. Mahomes throws for under 200 yards with a touchdown and a pick. But, I don't know. We got to see if that Chief defense has turned a corner or if it's a product of who they went up against. Because I think those are the two things that come out of that game last night, besides who won, who lost. Was Rivers his future in Los Angeles as a Charger? Their kind of season has gone wayward. Is they're 4-7 now as we approach week 12? And then the Chiefs defense. Can the Chiefs defense kind of find themselves here for Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator in Kansas City, to kind of maybe keep pace, not be as good as that offense, but keep the pace to where they're not as bad as they have been up until this point?
Yeah, let's take a listen here, Moose, to Andy Reid, head coach of the Chiefs right now.
I was real proud of our defense for the job that they did today. I think Frank Clark probably jumps out at you for the job that he did. He had a heck of a game. Four takeaways, the guys that intercepted the football and then helped create the turnovers. I'm proud of those guys.
Well, there was definitely issues for the Chargers. For the Chargers, thanks to the Chiefs and defensive, like you said, Moose, and you just heard head coach say, Andy Reid say. Let's take a listen to Philip Rivers talking about the issues in the red zone.
not scoring in the red zone. We got in there once. And twice, I guess. But we just, you know, not scoring in the red zone and turning it over, man. Just, that gets you beat. And that's what's gotten us beat all year.
Ah. Yeah. I mean, that's it. The turnovers and a team that was coming into the year maybe with a little bit of momentum off of last year, thinking that maybe this is going to be the year they're going to get to the Super Bowl, Taz. It's just yet another disappointing year.
Yeah.
And what has been a career for Phillip Rivers that's been highlighted with some highs and some really bad lows, but really a lot of inconsistent football for the team that he's quarterback.
Yeah, they got to figure this out, man. This is, you know, they're going to have a several wins under their belt. They're not going to – I don't see them going deep as – I don't think anybody sees them going deep at all. They're not going to be in position to do that. But you're wondering. I mean, just to jump ahead, you know, do you look at this? There's going to be a good amount of quarterbacks coming out of college in the draft.
Yeah,
you got to see where you are in that. You know what I mean. There's a lot to.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to interest the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. Yeah. All right, next
number two,
Tua Tagovailoa. You didn't think I could say it. Resting after successful surgery on hip.
Exactly.
Well, there you have it. Good
Tua
job,
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I don't even attempt it. Let's call him Tua. That's his name.
Tua.
Say it again.
Tagovailoa.
I know.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. Okay, Zach, relax.
So, successful hip surgery Monday morning on that right hip in Houston. So, we'll see exactly. It ended his season. He's not going to be playing for Alabama again. That ends his Alabama career. Basically, the report is that he'll be on a partial weight-bearing recovery plan for 6 weeks, rehabbing daily in Tuscaloosa. 3 months, he'll be able to begin athletic activity again, and by the spring, he should be ready to begin throwing. So that's the game plan they have set right now in terms of Tagovailoa moving forward here. We'll see exactly if that is indeed the case. If that's the case, I mean, clearly, we referenced Dennis Pitta from the Baltimore Ravens, that every athlete's a little bit different. It took him 2 years to get back. We looked at the Bo Jackson injury, and a lot of doctors who specialize in this, Taz, say, you know, it's a difficult injury for an athlete to be able to come back from and play at the same level that he played at before. We'll see if maybe Tua is one of those, I guess, rare guys that is able to come back and recapture it. Certainly rooting for him to do so.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I hope so, too. I'm with you, man. I mean, he's a young guy. I think he's 23 years old. You know, you feel for him. You feel for him. And you know, he's, you know, it seems like he's got a great attitude. It seems like he's dealing with this the right way. We played the sound earlier of him playing, Tua playing the ukulele the night before his surgery. I guess if anybody's just joining us here at the top of that, maybe we should play it again. Yeah, I guess let's play it again. Let's take a listen to Tua right here.
You sound good, boy.
That's good stuff.
That is. It is. And that was the night before the surgery. That was on Sunday night. And, Nick Saban did come out. And a little bit of a clarification. Initially, when Tagovailoa goes down with the injury, he was told it was just a bloody nose. And Tua did suffer a broken nose, which was repaired during surgery as well. Saban then was told at halftime when the teams were in the locker room that he dislocated his hip. So initially, Saban did not know about it. When he's getting carted off the field, I imagine he knew about it at that stage. So listen, Saban talked about how bad he's feeling. He's hurt and said he talked to Tua on Saturday night, talked to Tua on Sunday night. Said when I talk to him, he cheers me up. I try and cheer him up. He shows emoting a little bit of those feelings from Nick Saban down there in Alabama. It's a tough scenario, Taz. Let me ask you this question. You know, if that game plan that was laid out there by Laura Rutledge of ESPN, who said that's kind of the rehab process here now for Tua, if he's throwing again in the spring, I mean, if you're Tua, do you ever think about playing college football again, or is it right to the NFL?
Right to the NFL. In my opinion, I would not. What about you? I mean, you think
I'd go right to the NFL?
Yeah, I would too.
I think I've I've had it dislocated a hip.
Right.
I've had surgeries on both ankles. I've had a knee injury. I've gotten hurt enough in college. I've laid on the line enough. I've showed my toughness enough. It's time for the next challenge, and hopefully physically he can do it. Now, let me ask you this. The other question you have is, how much does this injury affect his draft stock? Because it was believed to be him or Burrow, along with Chase Young, the three-headed battle to be the number one overall pick in April's NFL draft.
Yeah, I think this hurts his draft stock a lot.
No doubt.
Unfortunately for him, I really do. I think it's not good. That's why, I don't know, man. I don't know if he takes a year off, goes back to school, don't play, rehabs, gets his body strong again, and then somehow goes into the draft. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad move, too. I don't know.
I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, because then you can kind of control it. Why? He's not 100.
That's my point.
You can kind of control where you're going. Not where you're going, but you can control the narrative on your body.
Correct. That's
I would not declare for the NFL draft if I talk to guys and they say, well, based on this and you're not all the way back yet, you'll probably be a third or fourth round draft choice or a second round pick. I'm not doing that, Taz. I really am not.
Right.
And I'd be surprised if he is not all the way back that he's a first round pick still rehabbing from this hip injury. Wouldn't you?
Wait, if he's...
Say he's not healthy. Next April.
Right.
Right? Say he's not all the way back and he's not all the way healthy. And he's still showing, you know, he's still rehabbing that hip. Say if that is the case, if you're a team, would you gamble and take two in the first round? I don't know if there's a team that would.
Nah, I don't think there is. I don't think. You can't.
I couldn't gamble on a guy with coming off a hip injury that was banged up all throughout his college career and take a first-round pick, as much as I love the kid.
I don't think I can do it. You just can't do it. It's bad business.
Yeah.
It's just bad business. You can't do it. Yeah, it's a shame. He seems like a great young man, and he's going to be a great young man, and if he plays football or not, I think he's going to come back. But I do think it's smart the way him and his family and his dad. I think his dad was a coach. His dad coached him in high school.
I think he did,
If I remember. Proud Hawaiian young man who's proud family kid. His younger brother's a quarterback, also a freshman on the Alabama team. So, you know, I don't know. I think maybe you rehab it, take a year off, go back to school, whatever, get your degree. He's still so young. His name's not going to disappear, you know, and then maybe you come back in and then you're healthy and strong and you prove the world you're still there.
All right, here we go. Next.
Number three.
Derek Jeter among 18 newcomers in 2020 MLB Hall of Fame ballot.
Now, the question with this, Taz, is you can run through the names. Some of the strange guys that are on the ballot. But the question with Jeter is, will he be the second unanimous inductee into Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Okay.
Mariano Rivera just was. Will Jeter now be the second ever?
He has to be. So I'm just telling you my perspective. I'm a huge Derek Jeter guy. Not a Yankee fan, obviously. I'm a Met fan, but I've always been a fan of this guy's play. To me, what he's done, all he's done has been part of championship teams since he wore the pinstripes. Dude, put him right in. I mean, it's just that simple to me. I'm sorry. That's me. I don't.
Do you
get
think
it.
He should be unanimous? I agree
unanimous.
With that.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Yes.
I don't think he will be.
Really?
Man. I don't. I'm not saying he's undeserving, but
how do you go against Derek Jeter? How?
Well, Taz, let me ask you. How do people go against Tom Seaver or Ricky Henderson or Ken Griffey Jr.? I mean, there's been a lot of guys I could throw down the list. And I didn't make this a thing, right?
No.
The baseball writers made it a thing. Yeah. That all of a sudden, over the years, that nobody deserved 100% of the vote. There was no...
stupid.
Right, which is dopey. I agree with you. I think it's all nonsense. I think it's stupid. I the guy that doesn't vote for Ricky Henderson for the Hall of Fame, or Tom Seaver, or Ken Griffey Jr.
It's a knucklehead.
Right. Then you should be voting.
Should not be voting.
But you want to keep other guys on the ballot, and you say, well, they're going to get enough votes. They don't necessarily need my vote. Well... Then it becomes a thing that no one's deserving of the 100% till Rivera goes. I'm not telling you. I'd love to see it. I'd vote for Derek Jeter if I had a vote. I don't. I think he'd be deserving of being unanimous. I think there are a number of guys that would be, as we just mentioned. But I don't think he's as beloved as Mariano Rivera.
I don't get that. I don't know why. He's always done everything. El Capitan. He's always done everything the right way. And I'm a Met fan. I sound like an arrogant Yankee fan.
You love Jeter.
I love Jeter. I've loved him. For his whole career, I love the way the player he is, the way he conducted himself. When my son was younger, during Jeter's career, just as an athlete, I said, that's a guy, that's a role model right there, the way he conducts himself. the pressure that was on him from Jump Street in the biggest, most pressured city in the world, New York City right here. And for him to go out there and play the way he played for a storied franchise like the New York Yankees and the way he played that shortstop position, dude, I'll sing his praises all the way, dude. I'm a huge fan. Now, I wouldn't want him running my organization. I don't think he does a good job of that.
No.
But when my man puts the spikes on, he can go. Pete, you're a big Mets fan. Mike, you got, I mean, we're Mets fans. Moose isn't. Do you guys agree with me that he should go right in? Or you agree, with us?
100%.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Well, the question is not right in. The question is, do you think he deserves unanimous? Right. Yeah.
I do, because I hope that what happened last year with Rivera changed the standards the way America and the writers think that, you know what? We can be progressive and not think like dopes 20 years ago. The guy's a Hall of Famer. Why would?
Right. Well said, Mike.
Yeah.
Pete?
Yeah, no, I he's 100%. Griffey was, in my eyes, so was Mariano, and so were a lot of others. So he's
right.
The antithesis of the Hall of Fame.
He's just, unanimous for sure to me. I
hope you're right.
Yeah.
Hope I'm wrong. I don't think he's going to get the 100%,
but
I hope
you're
right.
Isn't it nice to hear Met fans praise a Yankee? Does that make you feel good about it?
No. Well, Jeter, I mean, how do you knock him? He's clutch. He's
the man.
Great,
dude. He's
the gift
man.
Bags.
Yeah, the gift bags, right? Yeah. To his conquests.
Love Jeter. Love him. I met him once.
Autographed baseball?
A little bit arrogant. Met him once in Tampa. He came to a wrestling show. We hung out backstage. Like outside.
Nice.
In the parking lot area. And it was like, he's hanging out. And he's talking to the guys. I'm back there. We're talking. Why isn't that going in the building? It was weird. I'm like, dude, we'll get you in. It's not a big deal. Hanging out outside. He said, I'm waiting for somebody. Okay.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what was going on there.
There you go.
It was a few years back. It was a little sketchy. Like, it was a little weird. I'm waiting for somebody. I'm like,
All right. Yeah, bro. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. Yeah, met him on a number of occasions when I was producing.
You had him on there? Yeah.
I met him when I was producing. When I was doing, we did a lot of Yankee stuff.
Shocking.
When I was producing. Down in Tampa, Yankee playoff games and the like. Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, he's the man.
So there you have it. He headlines the 2020 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. So those are your top three headlines here on this Tuesday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you. Carson Wentz, he's like, along with Taz, they both love Tony Romo. We'll explain. We'll get into that next. Right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. And Sunday, the NFL on CBS is highlighted by a full afternoon of games, including the NFC South clash between Carolina and New Orleans, and the Raiders on the road against the Jets. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Want to get to Presley here on this Tuesday morning? How about the fact that Kylie Jenner sold half of her cosmetics company, Kylie Cosmetics, for $600 million.
It's unbelievable.
She's 22 years of age.
I mean, it's, you know what? Like, go away.
She might not even be 20. She might only be 21.
It's just like,
our company's valued at $1.2 billion.
I mean, you said that to me during the break. I felt like taking my head, running it right into a glass wall.
I've seen Taz angry. I told Taz that.
So,
I've never seen him more disenchanted than after I told him that.
No, I wanted to say to you, Moose, why are you even telling me this? Like, why?
Well, first off, it hits you over the head. It's amazing. It really is remarkable.
I got enough problems.
It really is remarkable. And God bless. I mean, she's a great businesswoman, and the Jenner family.
But hold on a second. Is she really a great businesswoman? Think about what you just said. Is she really? No, she's not.
Well, she's
no.
branded
no.
herself.
No.
I would say
she's got people around her helping her become
I understand, but she's a brand.
She's
and people love the brand.
Who fell into you know what?
Well, you need money to start money, and she had money to start it, but to turn
she
that...
She had millions.
I understand she had millions, but...
Don't give her credibility.
Taz,
she's a kid that was born with a silver spoon in her mouth.
I understand that, but
she's got a company valued at $1.2 billion. There are plenty of kids that are born with a silver spoon in their mouth that don't have a company worth $1.2 billion.
Maybe I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Honestly.
No, but you're over here saying, like she's Oprah Winfrey, like the type of businesswoman she is.
I didn't say she was Oprah. Like, now you're putting words in my mouth. I never said she was Oprah.
You implied it. Please. This is a 23-year-old kid.
I don't even think she's 23 yet.
Oh,
God, that's annoying.
22 years old.
22
years old. My God. Imagine getting that and being in those negotiations. You want to buy 51% of your company for $600 million. Oh, my God.
Be like, where do I sign, son? That's
what and she still owns 49, she gets $600 million now and continues to get checks from it.
Correct.
Who's her boyfriend? Who's her boyfriend?
I think she actually has a kid with...
One of the basketball players?
No.
Rapper.
Yeah, she's the one that has like drama, right? And like the brother was dating a girl that used to date her boyfriend. There's a weird like crisscross of relationships in there that I don't want to know all the details of. So I try not to.
I thought he performed. He performed at some big sporting event.
Travis Scott.
Oh,
correct.
I told you about him way back.
Yeah, Travis Scott is her. They're no longer dating. They broke up. I don't think she has a boyfriend but they do have a child together.
But then one of them dated a guy named Tyga, who used to date a girl that now dates the brother Kardashian, or did date him. There's a weird.
Yeah, Tyga used to date. Kylie.
Okay.
Right?
God, how do you even know this?
Correct.
Well, I only know part of it.
My wife watches the Kardashians.
Right.
How do you know?
Why? Well,
it's entertainment.
Oh, God. Want to watch entertainment? Watch wrestling. That's entertainment.
My wife doesn't get into the wrestling, Tez. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not offending wrestling. Wrestling's great. I love wrestling.
I'm in a bad mood, man. She just got me so aggravated.
The Kardashians, the little Real Housewives.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm a big Bravo guy. BravoCon was this weekend. I'm mad
Shocking
I missed it.
That you're a
oh, really?
Bravo guy.
Yeah.
You're another guy. You should be watching people vertical suplex each other. Not Bravo. Man up. Okay?
Good for the Jenners.
Congrats to them, really.
They continue to win at life.
Yeah.
She's a great businesswoman.
They dominate life like LeBron dominates the NBA.
At least LeBron, I mean, he worked his rear end off and is a great athlete. That's a different story. This is a kid.
I could say something. I'm not going to say something. But anyway, Bogus, go ahead. Good
don't
morning.
Say it.
Hey, Moose, good morning to you as well.
Say, don't. Because if you think you shouldn't, it's probably not a good idea.
No, I was going to make a joke, but I don't know if it would go over well. But anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
The Kansas City Chiefs defense forced the Chargers to settle for just field goals early, then kept intercepting Philip Rivers to close out a 24-17 win in Mexico City last night. Patrick Mahomes, happy to let those guys have the spotlight for a change.
This defense has been getting better and better the whole season long, and they really stepped up and won the game for us.
Their fourth pick of the night came from Daniel Sorensen at the goal line with 8 seconds to go. Mahomes just 182 yards and a TD to Jason Kelce. Wow. Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy ran for scores as the Chiefs broke their tie with Oakland atop the AFC West. The only bad news is Tyreek Hill knocked out in the first half with a hamstring injury. The Chargers dropped to 4-7. They're 3 back in the loss column for the second wild card spot. As you guys were just discussing, successful hip surgery roughly 24 hours ago for Tua Tagovailoa in Houston. The plan is to have Tua throwing again in 6 months. LSU linebacker Michael Divinity back at practice yesterday, 2 weeks after leaving the team for personal reasons. We don't know yet, though, his status for playing in actual games. NBA last night, Paul George welcomed the Thunder to L.A.
Beverly gets it in on the far side for Williams, gets a screen to his right, finds Paul George off the screen. He'll try a right wing three. Bottom! Paul George has ice in his veins on his way back home. The Clippers retake the lead, 89-88, courtesy of PG-13.
Come on,
I just think it's important to say, I have nothing against this young lady, Kylie Jenner. Okay, I got nothing against her.
Yeah.
I personally have not. It's annoying. That's all I'm saying. She's a 22-year-old kid, and she's selling these companies, and my broadcast colleague is saying how great of a businesswoman she is. I mean,
she's doing something, right?
Did she go to business school? No. Did she go to college? No. That doesn't mean she doesn't be successful or smart. I'm not saying that. I'm strongly implying it.
Well, you're inferring that.
But just give me something to bite into this girl, why she's so successful, besides the fact who gave birth to her. I mean, who are parents?
Not even
that.
Who her big sister is.
Well, whatever the frick it is. I don't know any of them. I don't know who Coley is. From Brody to Brendan to Kendall to Kerry to Kyrie to Connie to Johnny. There's a million of them. They're all attractive.
There is no Johnny. They're all with K's. But anyway, they're all very attractive women.
Even Brody, he's a brother. He's a half brother.
He's a good looking guy.
Wow. Yeah.
Good. He is.
Never mind.
Rob's gotten a little hefty, for being honest.
Rob's life has gone sideways.
Yeah, he's got to rein that in.
Then he could just go to a surgeon with all the money he has and just have a blade chop off the fat, and he could just be rich with a little waist. That's the kind of money they got. I don't know any of these people. I couldn't tell you.
You know who they are. They're bothered. No, listen. You don't know who any of them are?
No, listen. Let me finish my sentence.
Oh, okay.
Let me finish, please. If they walked into the newsroom and Mark Chernoff was giving him a tour of the green room, I would not know the difference between Kathy, Kyrie, Kelly, Kira, Kenny, Jody, Brody, Modi, Bobby. Mm-hmm. I don't know who any of them are. If I saw them, the only one I know is the one who was going out with Reggie Bush because I met her.
Right. Okay. Now, I
met her at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I met all of them, and I took a picture.
Except Chloe, who's ginormous.
I took a picture for Chloe and Courtney at Sirius.
Oh, nice.
What, did you mock for them now?
Well, they were all there one day. And you mentioned Reggie Bush.
Wait a minute. Moose, that's a good story. He took a picture with someone?
Here it comes. Here's the story. So outside the NFL studio at Sirius, there was a Reggie Bush fathead.
I remember that.
And I took a picture of Chloe and Courtney doing something suggestive to the Reggie fathead, which they then sent to Kim. I took that picture.
Oh, very nice.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's a good story right there.
That actually story got a little better.
Yeah.
All right, Bogut. Yeah.
That's a good story.
How about that? Pretty good story.
All right.
Yeah, I met them out in, where was WrestleMania?
Orlando.
I met them down there in FLA. So that's great, I know. It's awesome.
They're very attractive women.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, it annoys me. It's all just because
600 million. Happy Tuesday.
I mean, it's like I don't see. Let me just tell you
why.
I wonder
how many downloads her podcast would have.
Let me just tell you. Who cares? Let me just tell you. Here's the thing.
What,
Moose? I'm during the breaks is my time. Okay. And I don't like you sharing that information because you see it on TV just to aggravate and twist my
yandere. I'm saying give her credit. $600 million.
I got enough stuff aggravating me right now.
I understand that. I'm bothered. Then you walk out to the newsroom and you see Pierno.
He's actually off today.
I know. I'm joking.
Perfect time to rip him.
He's like the grumpy dwarf that's walking around here. One of the seven dwarfs.
Could you imagine the Kardashians here and them getting a tour of the newsroom?
Right. Here's Pierno, who looks angry. That day, he'd chip her up, though.
Oh, he'd wear a tux that day.
Oh, my God. That day, he'd be
tux
like
with
that.
A bow tie.
Right. He'd be in his whites.
Whites.
He might be in just a bow tie.
Right.
Ladies.
That's funny.
Go ahead.
You interrupted me while we were discussing the Kardashians of sports broadcasting. That was Noah Eagle on that Paul George highlight. The Clippers top the Thunder 90-88. George scoring 18 against his former team. Kawhi Leonard missed his third in a row with a bruised left knee. College Hoops, third-ranked Michigan State beat Charleston Southern 94-46. Number 9 Kentucky sidestepped Utah Valley 82-74. In Lexington, the Houston Astros giving first baseman Yuli Gurriel a $300,000 raise to $830,000 for next season. And Derek Jeter headlines the 18 first-timers on the Hall of Fame ballot. The other 17 guys, which I think you might have mentioned, not necessarily Hall of Famers. I mean, Sean Figgins, J.J. Putz are on this list.
Right.
I don't know. It's Putz for the point of this conversation. Yeah. Like, how do you
is
get
Derek Jeter? You heard what's your point? He should be a unanimous selection.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And as was I think Mike mentioned it, the wall has been broken by Rivera.
Yes.
So maybe Jeter goes in again, unanimously. And we get two in a row after forever, no one getting 100% of votes.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it would be great. I don't think he's going to get it.
Rivera deserved it, no problem, and this guy deserves it.
Yeah, I just don't think Jeter's as beloved, but I could be wrong. We'll see. Hopefully, he does.
But why do you got to be beloved? Like, is it, when you say beloved, do you mean?
Oh, I think that plays. I think that comes.
No, but see, that's what's unfair. Just see if a
but
guy
that's
is
true.
A complete. It might be true, but it doesn't make it fair. If a guy is a complete douche, but yet he's a great player and has done great things, like a Derek Jeter. It doesn't matter if he's not a nice guy. As long as he's not breaking the law, doing anything, stuff like that, as a bad guy.
But that's not, I mean, historically speaking, that's not true. I mean, Albert Bell should have been given more
consideration. You're missing my point.
I understand. I know that. I know what you're saying, but it does come into play. It does factor in. So
do you think it should factor in?
No, I'm not denying what
you're
saying.
I'm asking you a simple question.
I don't think it should factor in, okay. But it does. But I've had this debate. I mean, Jeter is going to get enough of the vote, obviously, and maybe he gets 100% of the vote. Albert Bell was a Hall of Famer. Albert Bell got little to no consideration for the Hall of Fame and didn't get much burn. At one point in time, for the better part of a decade, he was one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, Albert Bell was an ass.
Okay, right.
And held Eddie Murray back for forever.
Right. So, held that Eddie Murray. Hated the media. Was nasty to the media. Held Eddie Murray.
And what else
Murray
did Eddie Murray do? Eddie Murray from the Orioles, right? You're talking about Eddie Murray. 33, number 33 Jones,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what else bad did Eddie Murray do besides be mean to the media?
No, I'm asking you.
Is that it?
No, I think that's pretty much. Yeah, he was an ornery guy.
So,
he was not a guy.
So, what is. I'm not saying for you. I'm just saying, like, for the conversation. What is that? That shouldn't mean anything.
I mean, it shouldn't, but it did.
This is not a political popularity contest.
But it is when you're asking bunch of Jews to vote for you.
When you're asking people to vote for you, it is.
No, it should be about their ability on the field and what they've done for their team.
It's not a night and day.
It's about the media. It's about the writers, the reporters.
Well, the writers are the ones that are voting people into the Hall of Fame. That's the way it's been. So they do play a role, and they play a pivotal role.
I know that, but so what? You got to kiss these guys' asses to be a first ballot?
Eddie Murray, he was nasty to the media members. That's
so
all.
What?
No. We're not defending
it. I'm not defending
it. We're telling you what happened.
I'm telling you what transpired.
Right. Right.
Sorry, I'm a little confrontational.
It's not good. It shouldn't be that way. You're right, but that's what happened.
Right. That's what I want to hear, that I'm right. That's what I want to hear.
No, but we're all right. I mean, no one's wrong here.
We're not all right.
What we're saying is right.
No, but the implication initially was that, that's the way it is, dude. It's a popularity contest.
It's a popularity contest. That's not true. I never said the Hall of Fame, you have to be deserving of getting the bid in. So, there are guys that with the Veterans Committee that got in that should not be a Hall of Fame. And they've lessened the Hall of Fame in baseball in terms of making it. It should be the best of the best, the cream
of the
crop.
But those guys are players, though, right? Those
correct.
Are
Bill
writers.
Mazeroski, correct.
Right.
Mazeroski making it into the Hall of Fame. He's not a Hall of Famer. But
Harold Baines.
And right. Now you throw in Harold Baines, which was a lot of debate about whether or not he was a Hall of Famer. I'll look at Harold Baines as being a Hall of Famer, but listen, he gets in, so be it. So they've softened the line in terms of who's in and who's out. However, personality or in terms of, I would say, orneriness does factor into guys when you're looking for guys to vote for you. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And that's why I don't think Jeter will get 100% of the vote. Rivera was absolutely beloved across the sport, you can't find anybody that would say a bad word about Mariano Rivera.
I don't get
the way he conducted
himself
on the field and off the field. I'm just telling you the way that it is, though. I know you don't get hung up into it, but the way that it is, Derek Jeter was a guy that did rub some people the wrong way with the way that he handled himself.
I hear you, man. But all I'm saying is, the people who are paying the tickets, baseball fans, they don't give a rat's ass if Derek Jeter has an attitude towards media members or if any other player has an attitude. They care about the player's performance on the field. I am not a Yankee fan by any stretch, but I'm a Derek Jeter fan. So to me, I don't care how he acted towards the media ever. Okay, because now it's like, to me, it's like, it should be about how good of a player these guys are, not how nice they were to the media or if they were ornery or not.
Was Vargas not vilified this year the way he conducted himself in Chicago?
I'm just saying.
By people that watch the sport.
Right.
Met fans couldn't stand him after that.
Right.
To an extent, they do care.
And they should. I mean, you should want someone to be a nice person, at least. Like, you should knock him out of the Hall of Fame for it. But if a guy's a jerk, a guy's a jerk, and you shouldn't overlook it.
But it's when you put your uniform on, as long as this guy's not breaking the law and he's doing things where he's getting in trouble with the law, doing things, then if he, and not going on social media acting like saying nasty things or racist things or horrible stuff like that, if it's just a guy who's just is not a fan of the media and it's just his whole career was a little bit standoffish towards the media, then that means because the media is the one who votes that they should hold that against them. That's unfair. It should be, I think most fans, if you took an exit poll, would want the player that's the best player to be unanimously voted in and has nothing to do. Because that's not media. Then it's about the media. So now for the media to have this, that's their battle cry that this guy, or it's like behind the scenes, well, this guy wasn't nice to the media for so many years. So now that's an agenda. You have an agenda against the guy because he wasn't nice to you and your peers.
No,
that's BS.
It's not.
It is.
No, I'm not telling you that Jeter was Eddie Murray-like to the media, but I mean,
I'm not naming players, just an overview of players.
I got you. I understand what you mean, but I think it's. Then they, and it should have been broken a long time ago, but I think it's that it's looking at the guy that's deserving that was really the full and complete package.
Wow. I didn't, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know. I just don't think.
Also, you look at Mariano Rivera was the best to ever do what he did.
That guy's
right.
Amazing.
Like,
guy, and that's a great reliever. Great player.
You know, that
deserves everything. Yeah.
No, and I'm not saying you're not, but my point being is in terms of why I think also why he deserved 100. He was the greatest reliever that baseball's ever seen. He's the Babe Ruth of relievers. I mean,
I know, but
you'll never see another reliever carry his kind of dominance over the duration that he carried his dominance.
I agree with you. The thing is, for us to even have this discussion about the media is too much. Like that shouldn't even the media and the voters, the reporters who vote shouldn't even be the topic. It should be about is said player good enough to be unanimously voted in.
Well, right,
not about the popularity.
And that's a long list in my eyes of guys who should have been unanimous.
Agreed.
There should have been
a question.
So, like, it's also weird to sit here and try and apply any logic to the way it's gone because it defies any logic. That Willie Mays, all
Tom
these guys,
Seaver.
Right? They didn't get 100%. It makes no sense. So to even try and figure out why it hasn't happened, and now say that it should. I mean, it should happen.
The
Jeter
ticket system.
Well, it's just oddly
the system's
broken
already. And now you're going to go down. Okay, so then this guy should get the 100%. Then can we redo the other votes? Because then what makes so then Derek Jeter, if he gets 100% of the vote, that means he's a more justified Hall of Famer than Tom Seaver, which I think is nonsense.
Right. And I agree with that, too.
Like, that's the other point you get into, because then, you know, we're looking at qualifications. Well, now the 100% should have been broken a long time ago. And now you're going to be – and if Jeter gets it, so be it. But then Jeter, the next guy that's without a shadow of a doubt should get 100% of the vote as well. And we should continue this going and continue it moving forward because this was too big of a storyline in years gone by.
And I hear you, man. It angers me that these guys that didn't go out there and hump the road as a player and be under that gun as pressure and all that stuff, that they – I have no problem with them voting. They should vote. They cover the sport. They're experts on the sport. That's what they do, and I respect these men and women who do that. But for one or two of these men or women in that room to have an agenda against said player, and that creates the non-unanimous vote, that's an agenda, and that's hogwash.
Well, I don't think I don't think that's the only way they do it. I think it's a case of they're going to get enough votes. So I want to keep this other guy on the ballot.
Yeah,
there's some of that as well. You only get 10 votes,
right?
So you can only vote for 10 guys. So they want to make sure there's a certain minimum that somebody has to hit to remain on the ballot. If they don't hit that minimum, they'll be off the ballot. There is some of that nonsense as well.
All right,
Bogish.
All right.
Good morning, guys.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Hey, we'll see you later on, champ. Right. Great job today, as usual, buddy.
We'll come back. We got the undercard for you. And a little Tony Romo love. That comes your way next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely, we are here on this Tuesday morning. And how about Carson Wentz, Taz? Basically asked the cameraman Tony Romo's thoughts on touchdown review because he's always right. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's, I mean, basically Tony Romo can do no wrong as a broadcaster. Carson Wentz is right with you.
Well, listen, even though Wentz couldn't connect a pass for his life, on Sunday, he knows good broadcasting.
Oh,
he's a good analyst, and that's what Romo is. He's the best.
Oh, he is very, very good.
He's the best.
They're going to go 10 seconds. They have to.
It really is. His sense of urgency, his excitement, his energy, his chemistry with Jim Nantz, who Jim Nantz is like watching paint dry at times with his entertainment level.
He's got a legend. I mean, he's a legendary voice. He's a straight man.
He's a straight man Jones. I got it. And
Jim Nantz of CBS.
The thing is, I like the way Romo plays off of him. I respect that. And I love the insight to the game. Some people don't like that he leads you on, like leads the play and tells you what's going to happen before it happens. He slowed down that this year. I think he was getting a lot of heat for it. But he did it, I told you, during that Eagles game where he goes, he said, it was the Edelman double pass with Brady and Edelman. And he goes, trick play, here we go.
Yeah.
Like before it happened. I'm like, my man, he knew. He knows the formation.
No,
he
does.
It's pretty funny. Like,
it's amazing he struggled as quarterback.
I know, right? It really is.
If he knew everything that was coming, if he couldn't see.
It's a good point, though. No, you're right.
I mean, he analyzes these teams and knows exactly what they're going to be doing next. I mean, he should never have lost.
You're right. He'd be a hell of a defensive coordinator, believe it or not. He's reading these offenses so quick. Like, he'd be great in the booth. Like, a booth as far as a team.
Yeah.
As a DC.
Yeah.
Never played defense, but
he's
just imagine
making so much money as a broadcast.
No, I know. I'm just joking.
I agree with you, though. He's got a great football mind. He
does. He sees the play. I also think there's some stuff going on behind the scenes. Like, in the production meeting the day before, a couple days before, when they meet with the teams individually, I think he's getting a lot of insights.
Oh, they give him a heads up. Yeah, they give him
heads up. And I think maybe he's taking a little further with it. I don't picture, like, a Troy Aikman doing that. He's more, like, Joe Cool, Troy Aikman. I like him too, though. But you know, I respect all the analysts, except for Booger. Booger's
annoying.
They do
give you a good insight.
Booger's
when you have those play, when you have those team meetings.
Booger, stop talking down to me every Monday night. He just talks down to you. He lectures you. It's like his cadence is strange. The way he speaks, it's very strange.
Is it?
Pay attention to him. It's weird.
I haven't picked up on that. Up on the fact that he just doesn't stop.
I don't know. I can't. If you could put your finger on it when you hear him, let me know, because there's something about his cadence, like his dictation, the way he says things. It's strange. I'm big into vernacular, as you know, and vocabulary.
Yeah, I have not picked up on that with Booger. I mean, I think the Monday Night Crew. I think him and Tessitore. I think at times they get just on. Justly, just
I think you're right.
Brutalized on social media.
The honeymoon ended for me with Joe Tess. I got to be honest. I'm not a big fan anymore.
I like Tessitore. I think he's fine.
Yeah, he's all right.
I mean, we could agree to disagree. But I do think now it's just become the thing to do on Monday night. You watch the game and you just rip the broadcast crew.
I don't usually go on social media during the games. I'm locked in.
Oh,
is that what's been happening?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Really? Hot takes,
time to turn the volume down.
Just fans, like not just civilians, like people from the business, like media people?
No, and fans too. No. I wouldn't say it's not all media people that are just criticized, no.
Hey, great show today, Moose.
It's been great, fantastic. Bobby Carpenter joined us earlier on the program. Make sure to download the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. Mike, Pete. Across the way, Andrew with the update as well.
New Taz show out there dropped yesterday, by the
way. There you go. Make sure to download
Apple
it. We're everywhere you get your podcast. Taz show.
Yeah. No, that's
how long was it? 45?
54 minutes.
54 minutes.
Solo Jones.
Nice.
Just me and a mic and my audience.
Taz, have a good Tuesday, brother.
You too, sir.
All right. Until tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.